Well, good evening to you. Today was wonderful. The fellowship with the men and the young men that went out shooting today. The ministry is stressful. And being able to shoot things really relieves a lot of stress in our life. But not only was the shooting fun, but the fellowship was great. I mean, it was what we were looking at last night in 1 John 4. We've got a unique relationship with each other. And God is right in the middle of it that makes it possible. Thanks to Reva and Brother Les tonight who took us out for a wonderful dinner, and then we had a chance to be in their home before the services. Dear friends, and a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And I know I've already talked to Brother Benji, and I know that each one of the missionaries that have had the opportunity to experience your hospitality appreciate it so much. And again, for the wonderful facilities and, you know, places to rest. Periodically, on a particularly cold night in North Georgia, I'll look at Wanda and I'll say, honey, I'm thankful we're not trying to sleep in a cardboard box tonight. And I'm serious. I mean, I know we might say that tongue-in-cheek, but to realize that there are people like that, and it's good to have a roof over our head and to know there are people that love us. And speaking of that, we have a guest tonight, Gloria June Potter. Gloria June, would you stand up just for a minute? Okay, she'll wave. Gloria June and her husband, Bill, who is with the Lord now, were almost charter members of Open Door. They lived over in Groveland and started attending Open Door and quickly became members. And Bill preached for years at one of our RV campgrounds. And then when Open Door got involved with India through Cindy Ann and Harry, it wasn't long before Harry and Bill talked, and they ended up going to India. And I mean, they would spend extended periods of time, months at a time, in India, and the Indians loved them so much. And she walked in tonight, and Cindy Ann and I and Wanda were sort of standing together, and immediately the foyer lit up for us when we saw her, because we have a mystical relationship because of our great, great God. And tonight we're going to build on the foundation that I endeavored to lay last night. And we're going to be looking at the subject of grace giving, how it happens. And we're going to be presented with the example of a group of churches that were destitute. That is the Greek word that is used. But yet the Apostle Paul uses them, the Spirit of God uses them as an example to teach what grace giving is all about. Have you ever heard someone say, or have you ever said, you can't outgive God? Have you ever heard that? Okay. Do you believe that? Or would you say, well, Pastor, I believe it within reason. What about, do you believe it beyond reason? I mean, would you believe it if it was in the context of being humanly unreasonable. I mean, where's the line drawn that you can't outgive God? Well, what's that figure where God says to you, in effect, whoa, you've given too much? It doesn't apply to you because you have given foolishly. You have given excessively. Well, tonight I think the subject of grace giving, as Paul teaches us, it explains that we have only touched the hem of Christ's garment when it comes to this matter of what we can do personally and corporately as a church when it comes to supporting missionaries. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our heart. Father, I'm thankful tonight. You know my heart. I just desire to honor you and your word, and in the process to be a blessing to these people. Lord, we know what it is to have our faith provoked and challenged, and Lord, your word should be doing that constantly in our lives. And I just pray that you would help me to be clear. I pray that you would arrest the attention of those that have gathered tonight, that you would honor their faith coming out on a Thursday night. And Lord, together we would be challenged by your very Spirit. And we'll be so thankful, for we pray and we ask it of you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 1. And I want to go through a portion of this chapter and explain to you what Paul is saying. He's trying to teach the Corinthians something. He is trying to challenge them in their lives personally and corporately as a local church. And I just want to take you through this verse by verse where you can understand what he is saying to the Corinthians, and in that understanding that it might be the environment that God would speak to your heart. Notice how he begins in verse number 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, "Moreover, brethren," so he is writing to Christians, "we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia." This phrase, "we do you to wit," in the Greek language, could be translated, I want you to understand. I want to explain to you in such a way regarding the grace of God that was given to the Macedonian churches that you understand what I'm saying. Remember last night, we saw in John chapter 4 that the apostles were clueless. And there were some things that Jesus wanted them to understand about this partnership, this mystery of this partnership that we acquire as we join the harvest that he's called us to. And the apostles were just clueless to it. Well, here again, this theme comes up. Now it's Paul saying to the Corinthians, it's important for you to understand something. So I conclude once again, unless we have the illumination of the Spirit of God in our lives, this concept of grace giving can be completely over our head. I mean, there was a day for me that when we first started Open Door, I had a man coming from, he and his wife coming from Wildwood. And he started putting $100 in the offering. Now, this was 1984. He started putting $100 in the offering every week, and he wrote on the envelope, Faith Promise. And Harry Camp came to me, and he and Barb were looking over the books, and he came to me, and he said, Bruce, this envelope was given this week. And it says Faith Promise, and it's for $100. He said, do you know what Faith Promise is? I said, I don't have a clue. It happened the second week, happened the third week. Third week, I told Harry, I'll go sit down with him and find out what Faith Promise is. Brother Tommy Coleman about blew a head gasket. He said, Lance, preacher, you don't know what Faith Promise is? That's my mission money. And I said, $100 a week? And God used Tommy Coleman to change the history, the future of Open Door Baptist Church and also this preacher. Because there was a day this preacher had no concept of faith promise giving. Okay? So it's okay if you sit here tonight and you say, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. Hang on, you will. Now notice the wording here. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This English word bestowed simply means give. And God is said to be the one who has bestowed the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Okay, this begs question. Why did God bestow His grace on these churches? Well, the Calvinists would say because God is arbitrary, God is Lord, He can do whatever He wants. So He decided to look down on the Church of Philippi, Church of Thessalonica, Church of Berea, and say, you know, I feel like bestowing my grace upon them. But we're not Calvinists for good reason. And as you understand the text, you come to understand why God would bestow His grace on these churches of all the churches that He might bestow His grace upon. There was a reason for it. It was not arbitrary. It was not random. Now, I'm sure you have heard all kinds of definitions for what God's grace is. But let me give you one that you have probably heard me use before. The grace of God is God's enabling given to us. We don't have the ability to save ourselves. But through the grace of God, we are saved. He is the one that gives us the ability. We don't have it. He bestows it. The Calvinists would say, it's arbitrary. God chooses some people to be the recipients of His grace. We say, no. God bestows His grace when people, by faith, believe His word and trust Christ as Savior. Okay? And God's enabling, God's grace is always a result of the recipient's faith, trust in God. Now look at verse number 2, because it's critical. He says in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." Now, Paul is telling us there is a reason these churches experience God's grace. And it had to do with the fact that they were an afflicted church and they were a church in deep poverty. Now, don't misunderstand what Paul is saying. Don't misunderstand what I might seem to be implying. I am not saying that God rewarded them with grace because they were a persecuted church and they were a poor church. He felt sorry for them. He pitied them. Now, what Paul is saying is the circumstances that they found themselves in and they realized they were in was the catalyst in their lives for experiencing the grace of God. Now, notice a couple of words in verse number 2. Notice the phrase that they were in a great trial of affliction. They weren't just in a trial of affliction. They were in, if you will, an abounding trial of affliction. Then notice, if you will, in the second half of the verse, they weren't just in poverty, they were in deep poverty. So they were severely persecuted. And they were severely poor. But that's not the whole story. Because notice, if you would, in their great trial of affliction, Paul says they had abundance of joy. And then he makes the statement that their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Both of these Greek words, abundance and abounded, doesn't simply mean abundance and abounding. It means super abundance. They didn't just have abundant joy. The Greek leaves you with the understanding they had overflowing joy. And not only did they have overflowing joy in their great affliction, but they gave in an overflowing, abounding way. How do you explain that? How do you explain someone that is in great affliction? How do you explain someone who is in great affliction, but yet they have superabounding joy? How do you explain that someone that is in deep poverty, but they give in a superabounding way? Well, humanly, you can't. And that's where the grace of God comes in. Because the only way you can explain their joy in trial, the only way you can explain their generosity in poverty, is to say, boy, the grace of God must be working in their life. And you're going to see as we get into this chapter that the reason the Apostle Paul is using the Macedonian churches as an example to the Corinthians is because their desperate circumstances required the grace of God for them to do anything. And it was their circumstances that provoked their faith. That they weren't people living a cushy life. They weren't people that had a lot of money. Therefore, they had no problem giving generously. No, they are an example. And this is the reason they're being held forth. They're as an example of individuals whose circumstances screamed out, we can't be involved. We've got our hands full. We don't have anything. And yet, in their desperation, their desire provoked faith and provoked the grace of God to be experienced in their life. You know why people aren't saved? They don't see their need of God. But how many of us would say that we were at our wit's end? We were at the end of a rope. We were desperate. And our circumstances is what opened the door and opened our eyes to our need of Christ. And in that situation, we cried out and we experienced the grace of God. Verse number 3, Paul makes it clear that it's grace that was responsible for what happened. He says, for to their power. Power, the Greek word is dunamis. It's the word we get dynamite from. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. In other words, what he said was, they got involved. They gave to their power. In other words, there was a level of their giving that could be explained in human terms. They gave, they became involved according to their power, according to what they were humanly able to do. But then he says, but they gave also beyond their power. How is it possible for someone to give humanly beyond their means? Well, the only explanation for it is the grace of God. God worked in their life. And through God's working, He enabled them, remember, God's grace is His enabling. He enabled them to do something that was beyond human understanding. Are you following me? And notice this last phrase in verse number 3. They were willing of themselves. Though they were terribly persecuted And they could have used that as an excuse. Though they were in terrible poverty, and they could have used that as an excuse, they got involved. They're being used in the Word of God as an example because they wanted to be involved. You know why people don't get involved, Christians, that have been given the Great Commission just as much as you folks have been given the Great Commission? You know why they don't get involved in supporting missionaries? That's really profound, so listen. They don't want to. They don't want to. Well, they want to buy jet skis. And they want to have the latest gadget. And they want to make sure that they've got the latest vehicle and that they're socking money away in their IRAs, and the list goes on forever. But when it comes to the Lord's work, when it comes to helping missionaries, where they can go to the people that they have been called to, that we have been given the responsibility as God's people and as a God's church to evangelize, they don't give because they don't want to give. And conversely, the reason you give is because you want to. I've been thinking today, the Lord brought it to mind, haven't thought of it in years. Dear friends of Wanda's and mine, the Cauldrons. Bob was a businessman in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, when we met them. He was making a good salary. And he just kept getting more and more involved in the Lord's work. And he and I were having a conversation one day, and he wouldn't have this type of conversation with just anybody. It wasn't his nature. But he gave significantly to missionaries. And he was raising a family. There's no question it was sacrificial. And he said to me, "Brother Bruce, between you and me, I just put my monthly payment for my Porsche in the offering plate for missionaries." I'll be honest, there are times I thought about what I could do with the money that I've given to missions. You know what? Haven't heard from Bob in a long time. But I'll tell you this, I guarantee you he is thankful now. Wait till he gets in eternity. He's thankful that he gave that Porsche payment to missionaries. Because I've seen 20-year-old Porsches. And they fall apart like everything else. But hey, when you give to the Lord's work, he has promised to reward it. But it is always a choice. It is a faith choice. And the more the financial commitment goes up, the more tempting it is to say, "Whoa, that's too much." But I repeat, if you can't outgive God, where is that line of threshold? Notice verse number 4. He said that the Macedonian churches prayed us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. I get the impression when Paul says praying us with much entreaty, the word entreaty means to plead with, to beg. Praying here means making request of us, not praying to God. And I get the impression that Paul was reluctant to take this offering from the Macedonian churches because it was staggering to him the amount that they had given. And he knew the poverty that they were in. Wanda would tell you, there have been some times in our life where people have given a gift to us that was just overwhelming because we knew they didn't have much. You know, and there's a part of you in that situation that wants to say, no. No, I won't take it from you. Because I know the sacrifice it is to you. But yet we've come to learn from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we're not doing them any favor telling them no. I mean, it's an insult to their faith. And they believe, no matter how sacrificial it is, that God will take care of them. But when it happens, it's a testament to us who have more to challenge us concerning what is the level of our faith and our commitment, our trust in God. Now, the wording here is interesting, and I want to point it out. He says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift or the offering, the money that they gave for the poor saints. Now here's the phrase. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Now notice the italics that is used here. Take upon us. Let's back that out and just read the verse without the italics because there's an important truth here. The text says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministry of the saints. My point is, you cannot separate the gift from what its intended use is. And that is ministry to the saints. And you can't separate your faith promise from where it is intended to go. And that is where people like the people Cindy Ann ministers to, that they might know Christ. That people in Haiti might know Christ. Your gift is directed by faith. It's directed to these missionaries, that these missionaries might have the means to reach people that are dying without Christ. And that is why the Macedonians were passionate about this. This wasn't a gift given to Paul. This wasn't money just given, and with it being said, directed, use it however you need to. They had heard about the need of the poor saints in Jerusalem. And might I say, there's no one any poorer than those that are dying without Christ. They heard about this, and they sacrificed, and they scraped, and they worked to be able to come up with the money for this offering, because they were burdened for these people that were starving in Jerusalem. And our motivation is not because we're Baptists, we're independent Baptists, and we're members of Open Door Baptist Church, that this is just something that we do. If you're a member of Open Door Baptist Church, you're going to have a mission conference, and you're going to give something on a weekly basis, and it's just something that we do. No, it's not. We want to see people come to Christ. And we are using the material wealth that we have to facilitate it. You cannot divorce this offering from what it's intended to do. And that's what the Macedonians understood and were so passionate about Paul receiving this gift. Notice verse number 5. And this they did. They gave. They got through to Paul. Paul took it. And this they did, not as we had hoped. In other words, Paul talks about the fact, Galatians chapter 2, he refers to this, that he shared with all the churches that he was in about the need in Jerusalem. And he wanted all the churches to get involved in this offering to help these needy saints. So he was in Macedonia, and as his custom was, he was sharing with the Macedonian churches about the need that they had in Jerusalem. And now he says the way that they gave was not as he had hoped. I mean, he hoped that they would give. But the way they give staggered him. And look what he says. And this they did, not as we as hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord, and don't miss this phrase, and unto us, Paul and his team. I hope you understand that the thing that should motivate your involvement in supporting missionaries like these that are with you this week is because it's what the Lord wants you to do. I mean, if the Great Commission is not for us, please tell me who it is for. If the Great Commission is not to be taken personally, tell me, why would we take anything else in the Bible personally? No one wants someone putting money towards Faith Promise because they feel guilty as a member of Open Door that if they don't, they won't fit in. The reason we would preach and teach the Bible the way we do is. The reason I do this tonight is I want you to be convinced. I want you to be overwhelmingly convinced through the Scriptures that this is God's way. This is what God wants you to do. So the Word of God will be what motivates your faith. Not the custom of Open Door Baptist Church or the tradition of Open Door Baptist Church or what the preacher said. But this is what God wants of you. And understanding that, you surrender. You give yourself to God. But don't miss this next phrase. Right on the heels of giving themselves to God, they gave themselves to Paul and his missionary team. It's been my experience that some people begin to support missionaries, and then for some unexplained reason, some unjustifiable reason, it's not that they've lost their job. It's not that they've experienced a terrible financial reversal. They were just emotionally stirred in the mission conference. They made a commitment, and then they got bored. You know what our faith promise amounts to? Making sure that Benji Dryden and his wife and his family have food on their table, have gas to put in their tank, have money for medicine, can have a nice place to live with the lights on. And you know what? The needs these missionaries have are just as consistent as the needs you and I have. I've grown accustomed to eating every day. I've grown accustomed to having the lights on every day. I've grown accustomed to being able to put gas in my tank when I need it. And it's the same for them. I have given myself first to the Lord and then right behind that to these missionaries, that I understand, that Wanda understands, that our giving, it enables them to survive and stay on the field and do the work that God has called both the missionary and us here to. It is our part of this mystical partnership. And therefore, when I get bored with the novelty of faith promise and stop giving, there comes the point that the church, and this happens all over the country, the church has to contact the missionary and say, listen, we're sorry, but we've got to cut back on your support. Our faith promise just hasn't been coming in. I have a problem with that. Because it's a whole lot harder for them on the field to replace that support than it is for us here in the comfort of America to continue it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to stop there tonight. You know me, there's so much more that I could say. But folks, these churches experience God's grace, God's enabling, God's help, because they loved people that they had never met. They understood the need. And they looked at themselves and said, yeah, we might be persecuted. Yeah, we might be poor. But it sounds to me like the need that is in Jerusalem is a whole lot rougher than what we're experiencing. And after all, they are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're indebted to them. Therefore, we've got to do something to help. And their little bit individually might not seem to be like much. But man, corporately, it amounted to something that boggled even the Apostle Paul's mind. And they were convinced that they could not outgive God. And now they're being held up 2,000 years later as an example to us tonight. There's cause. There's need. We're not in deep poverty. If they could be stirred, if they could make the choice, so can we. And I give you this on my word, on the authority of the Bible. There will come a day that you'll be so glad you did. Pastor Farley?
When I was a younger Christian, I had this visitation partner, and he and I went out every week. And we were buddies. We were both young Christians. And we would talk about everything. And we talk about how, usually you're inviting people to church, and they would tell you why they can't go to church or why they won't, and, you know, different things like that. And he kind of coined a phrase that we sort of laughed about, but it was true. And he would say, any excuse will do. And people tell you stuff, and it's like they go in these long, you know, descriptions of, well, you know, and this and that, the other thing. And we'd walk out back to the car. He's like, any excuse will do. You know, and folks, what you've heard tonight is the removal of a barrier. And the barrier that we have, it exists only in our brains. And the barrier is the excuses that we tell ourselves, the lies that we tell ourselves. We excuse ourselves, we lie to ourselves, and what we essentially say is, well, I can't do that. I can't give to missions because of the jet ski payment and, you know, other things like that. I can't do it. And the Macedonians are this eternal sort of example that shame us. That says, you know what? We could do it. What's your problem? And this, what a great message, and what a great thing for us to ponder as we pray about our own faith promise commitments this week. Amen? Well, let's stand together and let's close in prayer. I want to remind you that there is a receptacle out there that we're taking an offering for the week for all of our missionaries. Do spend time with them after the service. Let's be closed in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the removal of the barrier. We thank you for the example of the Macedonians. It's just ink on paper to us, But as Pastor Stewart has preached tonight, these Macedonians were real people at a real time, and they made a real commitment. And Lord, they are a cloud of witnesses that exist even for us, even today, an example that we can do it if we choose to do it. We thank you, Lord, for, of course, the example you set for us, Lord Jesus, but the example that has been set many years ago by these Macedonians and remains. Father, I pray that we can continue to be an encouragement to these missionaries here present with us, to the missionaries in our missions program. We pray for the remainder of the week. I ask a blessing for each one here, and we ask it all, Lord, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. God bless you.